Live from the front yard inside Ellis Island Casino, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Your game tonight. Falcons, team of very much intrigue in the offseason. Eagles, top four team in the National Football League, although we saw yesterday favorites and what we thought about top teams in the National Football League really did not matter. A lot of upsets, including the Raiders over the Ravens. Cowboys got blown off the field. We have some time later on. We'll get to maybe the resurgence of Derek Carr. He looked awesome. We're hanging out here. Front yard, Ellis Island, 3 to 6. Their happy hour, Monday to Friday. They do $7 bites, $7 drinks. The bites include beer brine wings, the bacon mac and cheese. If you go on ESPN Las Vegas Facebook, I think on my Twitter, there's so much social media, you can see the bacon mac and cheese, which we had the other night during UFC. My Lord, it's good. Giant pretzel, brisket sliders. I think Griffin had those. Drive-in burger. I think Salerno had trouble finishing it, which is kind of amazing. And then the truffle parmesan fries. Those are all $7. So, and, you know, they brew their own beer here at Ellis Island. But in their all-you-can-drink beer special, you don't have to get those if you don't like them. You can get regular beers, whatever floats your boat. 15-plus beers to choose from, and they get an all-you-can-eat menu as well. Thursday, Sunday, Monday, and college football as well. It's pretty good. Pretty good deal.
I like this place. I like the spread.
And we said you like.
I wish it was closer to my house.
Well, there's Village Pubs everywhere. They own like 17 of those. Yeah. You go to a Village Pub, get a lot of the same stuff.
Original Village Pub.
I don't know.
Sunset and Eastern.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Sunset and Eastern. All right, I'm gonna have to jog the memory on that one. Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Is that right?
Yes.
It just popped into my head.
Come on.
I discombobulated. My wires got crossed in hour one. I couldn't remember our phone number. I've been in there many times. I like that one.
Yeah.
That was original.
Talking to the OG Vegas guy.
That's funny.
I remember that place.
I used to live when I first, about the third place I lived here back maybe around 99. That was right around the corner for me.
I used to, I remember that place in the 70s. When we practiced Pop Warner at Sunset Park.
Nice.
And Sunset Park was like the regional park in Las Vegas.
Of course.
That's where we would go. So you brought something up. It's funny.
Omaha.
You were talking about upsets yesterday.
Red Cadillac.
You know,
we'll change number four.
One of the funny lines I took from Antonio Pierce's post-game press conference. He said, yeah, 10-point underdog, you know, you don't see that too often. There aren't too many 10-point underdogs in the NFL. He didn't say win outright. He just said there's not too many 10. You know, I have a subscription to a really cool stat program, and they've upgraded every year with all sports. But with the NFL, obviously, they have point spreads. I am most definitely going to filter that and check it by the end of the – and see – how many 10-point spreads there have been? Because he made it seem like it's very rare. It's not really.
I thought it was too much, and we said this last week, for the beginning of the season, when we really don't know the teams yet, for the Raiders to be getting 9.5, 10, I thought it was overboard. No, I didn't call for a Raiders outright win.
No, I don't think anybody did, but I'm just saying it's not – you don't see it, right? If there's 16 games – however many in a week, bye weeks, there's 10 games, whatever. You are not going to – you're going to get a couple of 10-point favorites.
Right.
It's not that rare.
It's not Billy Walters. He's an NFL coach and a former NFL player. Take it easy there.
You think he's met Billy Walters?
I don't know. probably – I wouldn't say let's hope not. I don't know. Number three.
Number three.
How important is it – after a disappointing game, to kind of keep your cool and present a unified message? This was Brian Callahan after Will Levis against the Jets, and he really did make some stupid plays. They got inside the 10. He's fallen down. He tries to throw an underhand pass. It rolls on the ground like a bowling ball. It's behind him. It's a fumble. It's a nightmare. Callahan was not happy.
Yeah, I was upset. It was dumb. It was the same exact thing he did last week, and he cost us points in the red zone. And that is what it is. He's a grown-up, and he knows better. And so, you know, I was really irritated that he cost us 3 points in a game that we probably needed it.
I don't love that.
I don't either.
I like, and you know what, like face-to-face, hey, he's a big boy. You don't have to coddle him, but you don't have to do that in public.
He could have delivered that exact same message by changing out two words, the identical words, with one in specific. Instead of saying he could have said it. Because it is more personal. You can imply it, and the writers can write it. It cost it. He said that it, the mistake by. But when you say he, it's very, very personal. Words matter.
Last hour we were talking about people already trying to give up on Caleb Williams. I also see a lot of the nail stuff. So I don't know. For guys out there, I don't know what your problem is with your, you know, security with your masculinity. Maybe it makes you feel something. Yeah. Who cares that he paints his nails? Caleb Williams deserves years to show what he is. He's not a finished product yet. And I'll give you the other one because I saw some guy say, I told people I didn't think that Caleb Williams was much better than Fields. What I saw yesterday was a bad Caleb Williams. He's better than Fields. And here's the follow-up.
Yeah.
Will Levis, my God, he's hot garbage as well. If you watched that game yesterday and you didn't walk away going, man, Will Levis has a lot to work with, and he's got a cannon. He threw some balls in tight spaces. He has mobility. Now, he's got to be a better thinker on the field, but Will Levis is a good prospect.
Let's go back to the nail painting. What were the comments? Just in general, hating on him for having
remarks.
So,
all the time.
So are they mad that he's sitting down, getting a manicure, and actually getting a brush? Because guess what, my nails are painted. They're just not a color. They're clear. I get a manicure every 3 weeks.
Lost all respect for you, Willie.
Damn it!
No, I'm kidding.
I'll just leave now. Let me just go.
I'm like, who cares? Let
take
it go.
My headset off.
The nails, the merce. Who gives a crap?
I don't get it. I don't get it. Just watch the damn game.
Number two.
Number two.
Now, this is what you do as a coach. At the end of the first half with UNLV in Kansas City against Kansas, that was a nightmare. They're trying to run a play. The clock is running. They have to shuffle in a play after losing like 10 or 12 seconds. There was a lot that went on in that play, and I saw people just kind of blanket. What a disaster with clock management. I didn't see anyone follow up with what Barry Odom said after the game because he explained it. Today he explained it really well. And listen to what he says at the beginning about the disorganization on that big play right before the half.
A lot of errors all pointing back to the head coach. So I had two timeouts. I thought that the official signaled that Jacob was out of bounds when he raised his hand. I immediately looked away because I thought we had time and looked back up and the play clock's rolling. I hear the communication piece from Coach Marion to the quarterback. And then I see Sluka start running over, and the coach-to-player communication went completely out during that time. So I should have called the timeout. But at that point, I'd already wasted 10 seconds at least. I knew what play we were trying to get in, and I also was looking and saw rotation by the back end on their side that it got to a point I had to make a decision that's let it ride. Because I really didn't at that point want to call a timeout and let them see how we had lined up. Our players made a great play.
So like eight different bullet points about the whole thought process. I appreciate his honesty on that. He comes right and goes right out of it. He's like, my fault.
Right.
And at the end, players made a great play. So basically the players picked me up. But he explained what happened there. He thought he had the clock stopped. He looks away. It's running. Right. Then you're like, okay, let me buzz in the play here. Let me talk to Sluka. This helmet comm keeps going out for all teams all over the place. And then there's a whole process about looking out there. I'm always amazed by how much a coach processes in split seconds. And then he's looking at the defense. He's like, no, I don't want to call a timeout because I got him right now. I got him in a position I want him in. I like the play, so I like that approach.
You know, it's funny you say that because you hear fans all the time during series, right? Come on, let's go. You got 30 seconds. I mean, what are you doing? Get up to the ball. You have no idea. We got people that can't sit down in a booth and order a meal in 20 minutes and can't decide on a menu, and you want an NFL quarterback or a college quarterback to be perfect in 30 seconds. There's a lot of pressure. So, but no, Barry Odom, I mean, yeah. And let's face it.
That's that's what happens when you have an adult at head coach.
Yeah.
And not to rip on Callahan or his dad, Bill. But I've told a lot of people, you can see Odom from his Missouri days, even without knowing everything that happened in the Missouri days, has tried to apply everything he's learned over the years and tried to be better. And that's that calm right there, that's why the players didn't freak out. And then they run a good play, Saluka delivers a good pass, and Jet Thomas finishes.
Maybe it's a bad, sour NFL coach tendency, because Josh McDaniel did the same thing.
You know what's great about that point right there is that Josh McDaniels told us up and down, oh, I learned from the Broncos experience. I learned. And we're watching him. We're like, you're the same G-damn guy.
Yeah.
You are the same guy. And now, by the way, another story gets to number one.
Number one.
Derek Carr does look like a different guy.
Oh.
And maybe this is coaching. Maybe it's connecting with your offensive people, as opposed to what happened here, where everything got freaking went kerplooey.
Kerplooey.
And I do wonder at the half yesterday, Willie, how the Raiders, who had been kerplooey for three halves, turned it around, but they did, and they finally started using some of those weapons downfield. This is exciting for Raiders fans. You see this note from Paul Gutierrez. Adams and Bowers, first teammates in Raiders history to each have 9 receptions and 90 receiving yards in the same game. Imagine if this can become a regular thing where defenses are like, oh, my God, who the hell do we double? And then you've got other weapons, too, like Jacoby Myers and maybe Michael Mayer and maybe some running backs coming out of the backfield. They got something to work with here if they get the ball downfield.
They do. And, you know, on the defensive side, I think you have to give credit to the unit as a whole. A couple of nuggets. The Raiders, one of three teams in the NFL to hold their opponent to less than 30% on third downs in each of their first two games this season. Also, as a whole, Steve, all three units, Steve, no longer mistake prone. The Raiders committed only 3 penalties for 15 yards in the game. So far this season, the Raiders' 5 penalties are tied for second lowest in the NFL, and their 30 total penalty yards are tied for the second fewest in the league. You know what that means? It means to give the offense a chance to do its job, not lose momentum, not lose big plays. It gives the defense a chance to continue when it's playing well and hard and physical and not give up yardage off stupid mistakes. This is a disciplined team that, as we mentioned at the top of the show, has a favorable schedule and should use this to its advantage by doing everything it's doing right now and then just improve upon it.
You mentioned something important in the first hour about Ameer Abdullah, and I don't know that he's going to be the guy, but there's some pressure here on them to get Zamir White going,
or
they're going to have to start mixing it up.
Well, no, 100%, and let me, you know, don't just clickbait me and throw that out there. What I meant, what I said was he's going to be the guy in the locker room. I think he can be a leader and a mentor to Zamir because he's been there since he arrived, and I think he's a great energy and a great vibe in the locker room.
Don't forget tomorrow, 11th annual Bikini Tug of War.
What?
Yeah, we do a Bikini Tug of War with Steve's here and his summer tour every year. We're back at the Plaza Pool. That is tomorrow. Girls from the defending champ, the Peppermint Hippo. I think Adam Hill actually worked an entry into this. Not his own team, but yeah, 3 women from maybe his favorite club in town. Bucket, margarita specials. Steve's here, summer tour at the Plaza. That's tomorrow. Listeners are welcome. Again, great specials. Plaza Pool, 3 o'clock start, 2 o'clock weigh-in with the official Tug ref. Steve's here.
Live from Ellis Island Casino, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Eagles, Falcons tonight. Nightmare. Willie, Cofield, Ellis Island, front yard. Remember, this is a great place to hang out all throughout October. We're already looking ahead. Ellis Island. They got a big deal going down for Oktoberfest. I love Oktoberfest. I love the beer. I love the steins. I love the skirts. Love all of it. Remember, this place has been around since 1968. Ellis Island Casino Hotel and Brewery. Everything you need here, Willie. Eat, drink, sing, sleep, play. You asked about karaoke. Yeah, they still got the karaoke. It's one of the best rooms in the state of Nevada, in the country. But September 21st, Front Yard, kicking off Oktoberfest, live band, special menu, beer specials. You have big arms, but I guarantee you suck at holding steins. Those are hard. It's usually like the thin, wiry people who can hold those the beer steins up and start shaking and like, no! Beer stein contest, $100 grand prize. It's all going down September 21st at Ellis Island.
Did you ever go to the place, we're not going to name it because we're at a different, but back in the day up on West Flamingo that served the yard glasses?
No. You can mention, what was that?
Money Plays.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic spot. Now, you know what that was a hot spot for one specific year in 90? UNLV's run in the tournament.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I watched a couple of the tournament games there. Hammered. Slammed down the yard glasses.
It was a good place.
Yeah.
It was a good place. There's not a lot of places that we can mention and go, been here since 1968. We have a lot of turnover, and the bar scene has gotten crushed the last 5 years, which disappoints me because a lot of the good local bars by where I live closed up, and I lament that. But Ellis Island is still here. Yeah. UNLV is still here in the Mountain West Conference. So are San Diego State, Colorado State, Boise State, and Fresno State. But that's going to change at some point. I want you to listen to Bruce Feldman here because that UNLV game was weird from this standpoint. The most negative folks on and also over the folks who will overreact the most.
Yeah.
There was like a negative feeling going into the game and also a feeling of like there's some pressure. They got to win. This conference thing is going the wrong way for UNLV. Everyone slow down. Pump the brakes, right? Damn. So, of course, you have National College Football insiders who are trying to make sense of what the hell just happened with the Pac-2 adding four schools from the Mountain West. Here's Bruce Feldman on ESPN.
The Pac-12 has to add to two more teams at least to get to eight, and they have to do it by July of 2026. That would be in that two-year window where the NCAA allows them to basically reform itself. Now, here's the interesting parts of this. Sources tell me that the Pac-12 has some interest in Tulane and Memphis from the AAC. There's a bunch of other schools that they're also considering. Keep in mind, this is not going to be an automatic bid into the CFP. So we'll see how much interest comes on the other side of this as the league reforms itself.
And that makes you wonder why San Diego State, Fresno State, Colorado State, Boise State were so fired up. They're being told something big is happening.
Yeah.
Right now, that looks like it has potential to be a good group of five conference with those six schools. I guess it's believable that they have interest in Tulane and Memphis. I will repeat again what I've said about Tulane. Tulane as a football program is no better than Nevada's. In fact, it's worse. Nevada's program has actually been a winning program over the last 30 years. They're in a downturn up at, you know, these last couple of years, but I think Jeff Choate's turning it around. Tulane is not a great football program. It also seems like a weird match. Regionally, it's a weird match. And I guess the thought is, hey, we're going to have a whole division down in the Midwest and, you know, in that case, the Southeast, but I don't even get it. Memphis has big money, so I get that.
I want to preface this in just saying, so you're well aware for the next 6 months, every time this comes up on this show and I'm on, I hate the fact that everyone from a fan to an analyst to a critic is slamming, don't call it the Pac-12, rebrand it, it's not the Pac-12, they're going to suck, they're taking Mountain West teams. How long ago, whenever the Pac-8 was created, then the Pac-10, and then it grew, there's change. Change happens all the time. We are in the midst of change with conference realignment. And you know what? As that conference grows, as will the competition, as will the level of play, as will the transfer portal, we're seeing the absolute worst college football program over a span of what? 15, 20 years? Would anybody argue with me and say, no. UNLV was one of the worst football programs. They're ranked 25th in the country in the coaches poll. They've leveled up. Stop slamming the attempt that the Pac-12 is making in bringing in, and then whatever the big plans are, whether it's Memphis, mm-hmm. Tulane, UNLV, Reno, whatever.
I agree with you. And I wasn't slamming it. I was addressing the end of what Feldman said about other schools.
Yes.
UNLV fans right now are feeling defensive, so they're punching back. You could very well be in this conference, which I think can be a decent conference. I want to see what the plans are. I want to see how they believe they're going to get to $15 or $20 million a school in the TV deal. But there's a lot of uncertainty and hope being sold. Now, here's the other one that's gotten legs, and I don't really think this is a story, but it's gotten to Bruce Feldman. It's gotten to Front Office Sports. It's gotten to some other national college football insiders. I don't believe they're well-sourced on this. Fire this.
As for UNLV, that's a program that seems to make a lot of sense in terms of it's a big market, it's very travel accessible, and that football program under Barry Odom has really improved. But the rub with UNLV is they would have to probably take Nevada too, since it's the same school board, and that issue may make it a deterrent there.
They would probably have to. He has no source on that. It's also Nevada. Come on, let's get it right. People I've talked to, the regents are a minor factor now, and I'm sure there are Northerners who would be like, hey, both schools have to go. We're not going to approve this. You don't matter.
It does.
Now, the first time I hear a public servant from the South or the North actually speak with any sort of interest or care in college athletics in this state with these two schools, I think I jumped it. That'll be the first time I hear it, because I never hear anyone, which I think they should have been active for the last 10 years. These two schools are heavily funded on a state level because there is no loudmouth. There should have been a loudmouth the last 10 years to go, hey, why is the state of Nevada on the outside looking in? Why are some hell holes in I mean, frankly, like, cool with Oregon State and Washington State, they were Power Five because they were gifted in from whatever, 50, 70 years ago. We are one of the fastest growing states in the country. We have a lot to offer here. There should have been at least one politician or public servant. This could have been their thing. But they've said nothing. Now maybe the former governor, right? Sandoval, who's now the president at Nevada, will have a loud voice, and that might create some waves. Or I'll tell you what, if Lombardo jumped on this and was like, hey, we got to bring along Nevada, see what the reaction is down here. He's like, bruh, you're a Southerner.
Yeah.
But I don't – I think this is chatter. I think there might be one person behind the scenes feeding people as a source. I don't believe this is reality, and because in the past, UNLV has been in a different conference often – and moved on from the conference that Nevada was in. Oftentimes, they didn't have to drag him along.
When you hear that, is it the school or is it the town that it's a small? Because for the longest time, it was like they're never going to take UNLV, the market. Now, all of a sudden, we've got three pro teams, a few championships, two in the WNBA, an NHL championship, the Raiders, money, national championships, you know, everything's coming to Vegas. Is it Reno? Is it the program as a whole? What's wrong? Number one, what's wrong with Nevada? And I'm going to follow up on this. First of all, just give me a quick answer without elaborating. Is what you know or think, is it the school or is it the city? Or is it a combination?
You're talking about
why it would be a problem if it's, hey, yeah.
Oh, no, I said it last week. I actually think both schools should be invited to the Pac-12.
Why do you think there's dissension? If that's the case, why are people scoffing at the notion, why should we welcome Nevada in? Why is that a problem? Is it the market or is it the school?
Are you talking about UNLV people?
Whoever is scoffing at the notion.
Well, I mean, clearly, if it's UNLV people, there's a healthy dislike on both sides.
Yes, but...
But from the Pac-12 side of things, I think, like I said, I think Nevada's been a better football program.
Right. So,
and better athletically consistently over Tulane. Does Tulane have the New Orleans market? I guess.
Okay, here's where I was going with it. If it's the market and they're thinking, well, it's Reno, it's, you know, it's a small. Where did I go this summer? I took a drive. 3 weeks. Stadium tour. Manhattan, Kansas. Champaign, Illinois. Now, hey, I'm not comparing the programs. If it's the market, Nevada is a pretty good college town. They do support their school. We've seen the basketball team make a run. We've seen the football team at times be power. They're, for the longest time, their Hall of Fame coach was head of – he's dialed in Chris Ault. So there's nothing wrong with them including that. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, if UNLV people have a problem with it, it makes – you know what? It could imagine that being the next USC, UCLA in the Pac-12.
They should make the Pac-12 – a Western and Mountain Time conference. And if you want to go to Central Maybe you grab some Texas schools, but there's no reason to go further east beyond that. Have some respect for the kids, right? The travel. There's plenty of attractive schools where they don't need to start going after Tulane or Memphis. And the other one is Stanford and Cal aren't coming back.
No.
They were, Stanford especially, and I know Utah's president wanted $50 million per year. Stanford especially, the Stanford is not going to go back into a West Conference with the Mountain West Conference schools. That was one of the problems initially.
Yeah.
Is that once the Big Ten stole four schools, then everyone got a little snobby and they're like, San Diego State, Fresno State, Colorado State, Boise State. And look at where they are now. So let Cal and Stanford enjoy, you know, multiple trips of 2,500 miles. Let them have it. The new Pac-12 should be all folks in the West and the Mountain.
Stand by all cameras.
Ready with slow motion and isolated cameras. In less than five, in three, two, one.
Take.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Reminds us of cool days and beginning of football broadcast. Monday Night Football was revolutionary when it came along. And what year, Willie? 1970? Pretty sure 1970.
70?
Lots of Emmys along the 69? Way. Did you watch the Emmys this year?
No. Clips, highlights.
I think you're going to connect with this one. You know, the bane of everyone's existence is having a great moment happen to you at one of these award shows. And then someone behind the scenes is like, okay, that's enough. And they start playing the music. Listen to John Oliver from HBO as he wins an award. And the person clearly is not listening to what's going on. You can't play the music.
I also want to thank, it's going to be very silly, our dog. We had the most fantastic dog. And she was at our wedding. And she got us through a pandemic. She was with us for the two pregnancies. And perfect choice of music. We had to say goodbye to her. She was an amazing dog, and ouch. I would guess. This isn't just for her. This is for all dogs. All dogs. You're all very good girls. You're very good boys. You all deserve a treat. Play me off now. Thanks so much.
That was great. So they start playing the music as Casey Kasem would say, doing the damn dog dedication.
Yeah.
They start playing the music. And then he stopped and he points. He's like, F you and F you.
Yeah.
Everyone's laughing. And then good move at the end. He really curried favor. He's like, this is for all dogs and all cats.
Right.
Let's go.
I've said it once. I've said it 1,000 times. In my opinion, dogs are the prescription for mental health. They can. You know why? Because if we all thought that people were as great as dogs think people are great, this would be a lot more kinder country.
Right, Griffin?
100%. You got to let the man give respect to the dogs of the world, and the Emmys just show they don't care about dogs or animals, pets in general.
Whoever played it wasn't listening. I'm sure they've got some freaking just fire-breathing dragon behind the scene who's like, this is how much time they have. Fire the music, no matter what. I don't care what they're talking about. And the person's probably like, oh, my God, I can't believe I just did that.
Can you imagine them doing that to buff-ass Kahlua? Griffin? I don't think that stagehand would last too long.
Are you claiming that? Well, I think John Oliver was actually honoring his dog who had passed.
He had already
passed.
It's not an active dog that he can sic
on the person in the back.
Yeah, that's true.
Let him loose. Let her lose.
He's going to come back and haunt him. Haunt him.
That's a great moment.
There was another great moment.
What was going on? We got about a minute here. What was going on with the Fonz and Richie Cunningham?
So Ron Howard and Henry Winkler come out on the set of Arnold's.
Nice.
And they reconcile. They say hi, whatever. They reunite. And he says, you know what we didn't get? And Henry Winkler says, no music. And Ron Howard says, well, Candace Bergen got music. So he says, well, there's a solution to this. Fonda goes, Henry Unger says, I'm out of touch, right? I'm rusty. He says, you still got it. You've been educated on this stuff. So he walks over, backhand fist to the jukebox, and the theme to Happy Days comes on. And he even changed his voice, went, oh, hey, hey.
Actually, I did a combo of Fonz and Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah. Or a little Barbarino.
Vinny Barbarino.
But
these are all references for anyone under 100. They're like, what, 1978? Like, who are these guys on
radio?
Every
Tuesday, man. I was dialed in.
Was it?
Every Tuesday, ABC. He had Happy Days, Laverne Shirley, Three's Company. I was definitely a Fonz guy.
I was a fan of Carmine and the Big Ragu.
Oh, yeah, he was strong. Tap dance.
Coming back, a recap of the weekend in gambling. Did we do okay? Yeah, we did okay.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Betting. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Eye on Sports Gambling is brought to you by Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Trump. Yesterday was a nightmare. If you're a favorites better, yep. Total disaster. Early games especially. Raiders, these were all teams that were dogs. All right, winners. Raiders, Bucks, Saints. Let's talk about Derek Carr.
Yep.
Nice celebration in the end zone. A little risque for a man of faith. But grabbing the junk, doing a little Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
He's a happy guy right now. They're playing well. He's got weapons. And there's nothing better than going into Dallas and shutting up that crowd and getting them to leave early. Sorry, Willie. I know you're a Cowboys fan, but my God, they smoked him.
I love the over in that game, by the way. He said that back in his day. We do remember there's a YouTube video out there of him doing some zany car commercial, car rental place or car lot commercial. I think he had like a acid wash jacket with fringe on. So who knows? Maybe his backup plan was to be a Chippendales dancer. Through two games, only one interception, 5 touchdowns, QB rating of 142.4. He looks a lot different when you're passing yards per attempt or 11.4. That is not Raider like when he was here. So he's certainly happy. He's certainly enjoying himself. You got to hand it to him. I mean, they're getting it done. They went into Dallas and, as you said, smoked them, sitting 2-0 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC South.
Other outright winners on the plus side, Vikings. How much did you watch of that game? The Niners were a mess. Purdy had a rough game.
Brutal.
Sam Darnold. How about the ball placement? Sam Darnold throws the ball to a wide-open Jefferson, probably 58 yards in the air. And then he takes it the rest of the way for a 97-yard touchdown.
WR1. We saw him on receiver.
Browns did what they needed to do in the first half, hung on for a victory on the road at Jacks, catching 3. And then I don't want to do this. I'm not doing this to brag, we're in circa million. I mean, I don't like the term. It is what it is, but Cofield's moving up the relegation chart.
Willie's moving out.
Some of you guys, it was rough. Anyway, I took the Packers plus. I took the Packers plus the 2.5. And amazingly, Malik Willis threw like 3 passes. But Josh Jacobs, 128 on the ground in the first half. Packers take care of business. And we'll see if Jordan Love can come back sooner than later.
Another former Raider thriving in a different city. So maybe it was the facility. Who knows? Maybe it was the culture.
It was
the
coach.
It was definitely the coach.
Yes. You're being nice, and you're not nice to Josh McDaniels, so don't be nice now. Our circa
definitely not being nice.
I know. Well, a little bit. Our circa million picks. Ready? Packers plus 2.5. Titans. I would consider Titans plus 4 a wrong side loser. That was Alex's pick. Will Levis bowling the ball inside the 10-yard line, not good.
He cost them.
That was a 50-50 game, but I'll take it as a Jets fan. Another toss-up game, but on the wrong side, Giants plus 1.5 against the Commies. That was Justin's
tough
pick.
That was tough. I like the Giants. I mean, I didn't send that over, but I mean, I like that pick. I didn't disagree with it. And I didn't have a problem with it when he's the way he sent it. Remember, he sent it immediately. I'll wait for the feedback. I didn't have a problem with it.
I didn't have a problem with it.
No, and that was a tough way to bow out. I actually wrote that up just a preview. I wrote the Giants. So 1-2. What else? I know. So that means we were 1-3.
Steelers minus 2.5.
2-2.
Yep. Against the Broncos.
And then my loss.
And then your pick was the Chiefs, which, I mean, they won, but you were not on the right side of that one.
I was never on the right side of that one. That was terrible. So I'm relegated. I mean, and last week I got chooched by the hook. Alex tried to sugarcoat it and trying to make me feel good, but it was you know. Here's the thing. If you lose by the half point or you lose by 17 points, it's a loser. There's no, bad beat or not. I never really make excuses unless it's like a blatant, horrible call by the ref or something to that, something extreme where it's just ridiculous off the charts. You're wrong when you're wrong, period. And when it comes to betting, you do not walk up to the window with a ticket and say, man, I only lost by half a point. Did you see how I lost? Did you see how I lost? Now, there is a couple
Here's
places.
A drink ticket.
Jordan tells me, he's texting me last week, Pop, should I go cash out? Pops, should I go cash out? He has this conversation, and then he never pulls the trigger, but he bets at a place where they'll buy back the ticket before the game's over at a lesser payout, and he should have done it. I can't remember the play he had, but he had like a three-teamer ride, and it was going to pay like, I don't know, $800, $900. I said, buy out at six, do it. The way this game's going, and sure enough, he lost.
Griffin, your pick was?
I believe it was, I need to even look back.
It was Steelers.
It was Steelers. It was.
So you move up. You actually move up in the relegation. Willie's not out, but he's in the five hole now. Six and seven are breathing down your neck, Willie. So if you lose again.
So six and seven send in picks, but they. So
I don't even ask for the picks. They don't need to win. Doesn't matter.
Oh, gotcha.
You just go out.
I'm slowly moving out.
Yep.
Jesus.
It's all right.
There's seven of us. I may, as bad as this has been, I may end up in the eight hole.
we'll have to ask someone else. You know, back right, the rankings going into last week were Alex 1, Justin 2, Cofield 3, Willie 4, Griffin 5. So now, I move up to 2, Justin goes down to 3.
Okay, so how did Griffin go 5 and I lost and we were 4-1 last week?
Griffin was actually – there was a technicality last week because I had to make 2 picks.
Oh.
Griffin got notification of needing to make a pick very late, and I had to insert the picks before I was hitting the road.
Gotcha.
Plus my pick was really bad, so I'm glad it wasn't included last week.
Yeah, you – well – yeah, technically, so I guess Salerno would have moved in front of you. So Salerno and Nye are on the outside.
So is anyone 2-0? You are.
I am, yeah.
And who else won this week? Griffin.
Griffin, yeah.
So Griffin's 1-0.
I guess I should. You're I guess technically I'm 2-0. I should go all the way up to number 1 because Alex lost and Justin lost. But I was only doing one spot at a time.
But you're really 3-0 because the game you inserted last week won also.
I am, but I didn't want to brag.
Why? You do it all the time. What? I mean, all of a sudden we're going to change. Oh, I'm going to be humble.
It's my job.
Yeah.
That was great. This time I'm not going to brag. Did we look ahead at all at the NFL? Should we? Actually, you know.
We should, and then just take all my
We should
opposites.
Just do Monday Night Football as the another relegation moment. But what are you thinking right now? You got 5.5 on the Falcon. Check that. 5.5 Eagles. Total is 46.5. About 70% of the cash is on the Eagles, 73% of the tickets. Who has the stones to take the Falcons plus 5.5?
Some of the line – I'm looking at a live line sheet here. Well, now – okay, so two commercials ago. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Out of the 9 books I'm looking at, 7 of them were at 5. 2 were at 5.5. Earlier today it was all 5.5. Now they're back up to 5.5. There's only 2 with 5, including Circa where we and where JBT does his Sunday show Superbook. So I don't know if anyone has the nads to take the Falcons because I think Philadelphia has a lot to prove on both sides of the ball, and I think that this is being – you know what? I mean, Saquon Barkley, how many times this guy stepped on this field in blue, and tonight's the first time he steps on there and Green. Jalen Hurts, they're all back from Brazil. They've had a little extra time.
No A.J. Brown. He is out.
Okay. They still.
By the way, I got caught. And remember your fantasy dilemma that you talked about a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Right?
I got smoked.
Getting ready to go into Sunday, set your lineup. You don't know what's going to happen with a Monday night player.
Oh, yeah.
I had A.J. I'm like, I got to roll the dice. A.J. Brown's going to play. Not playing.
But luckily,
I had a good week, so I won anyway.
I set up a thing with the app on my phone with fantasy. And I got a notification about, I don't know, 2 hours before the game that one of my guys was out. It was just out of nowhere. And, by the way, I figured out how to change the name on my team.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Willie's very tech savvy. He's going to tell us how to change the name on a particular site.
Well, I didn't know how to do it because it automatically gave me a name, and I thought you were stuck with it. Okay, finally it jumped in here. So I got a late notification about Evan Ingram. And you know who I popped in? Brock Bowers.
Nice.
So I had.
You really know your fantasy football.
Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and Brock Bowers. But the logo of my team, I changed the logo too. I was able to change the logo. The logo is the swole dachshund deadlifting the barbell, Griffin, that we used a couple of weeks ago on the
swole hot dog dog.
Yes. So you can obviously imagine with the first letter of my name, Willie, what the team's name is.
Are we going to have to put in our picks early because you're going to want to take the Thursday night game and take the Patriots plus 6.5 against the Jets? You said something about an hour ago. You're like, Jets are laying 6.5. Six. Mm-hmm. No? You're going to stay away?
It threw me. That's all. But no, that doesn't mean that I'm. You're not going to take a guess on my team's name?
I thought you were going to give it. Is it something to do with Kahlua? Kahlua's muscles?
No.
Kahlua's muscle crew?
Willie's wieners.
Oh, boy. Racy stuff. Can't have kids. Look at the standings.
Well, there's a dachshund for
right,
the
Griffin?
Logo.
Yep.
Are you kidding me? You know how many times I'm walking the dog in the park or going on a hike and the kids goes, it's a wiener dog.
It's a good point.
Body by Kahlua would have also been a pretty good name.
Body by Kahlua.
Change it again. Okay, let me throw some games at you that are catching my attention for next week.
Okay.
Chargers plus one at the Steelers.
Steelers.
Wow, that was quick. Okay.
They're staying back east, by the way.
The Chargers are.
Yeah, they're staying back
Seems
east.
Seems weird to me.
To stay back east?
Oh, was that long a trip?
Where were they just at? They were just.
I get it.
Come on.
And I think just staying back east or staying out west is just, it's odd. Come on. The flights get back quick.
They do get charters. I mean, this isn't the WNBA.
No one's going to challenge me on the flights get back quick. What does the NFL have? Super planes? What is that? I don't even know what I'm saying.
No, but they do get. I mean, they can. There's a plane waiting. They get back to, they go and they get, no, I mean, no, it's the same amount of time, but they're not sitting around waiting in an airport. So they immediately, if they wanted to fly back, they just get, when they get to the airport, the car, it's like having a car. You got the car outside.
I think a lot of the staying in a spot for 2 weeks is about the camaraderie and being away from the family. I think football coaches like that. Like, we're going to tough it out. You're not going to have to deal with your regular responsibilities. Let's go.
Well, I think that's the additive, but I think the convenient part is packing all the stuff, the gear, the trunks with the full of equipment and all that stuff. That, I mean, that plays a big part into it as well. The staff that's going.
We as a group, we got about 20 seconds here, but we can't keep going with the Giants, but the Giants plus 6.5 against the Browns is fascinating. Browns are laying almost a touchdown. Come on now.
Yeah. Willie's wieners will not be traveling back and forth. They just stay in the same location.
You know how immature I am? The more times
yes,
you say
I do.
That, the more I keep laughing. It's just like a complete idiot. Mm-hmm. When am I going to grow up?
But I do got a cool logo. So that's all that matters.
That is, you're right, Willie. That is all that matters.
Logos matter.
Ion Sports Gambling is brought to you by our friends at Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Trop, true local bar, sports and great menu, Reuben French dip, chicken tenders, 24/7 breakfast, Monday Night Football tonight with Johnny and the Monday Night Maniacs, and that means crazy food specials. They usually have a dinner special every night. Dinner special tonight is the Monday Night Football food. Dollar wings. Dollar hot dogs, dollar tacos, dollar pizza. Oasis Bar and Grill. Follow them on IG at Oasis Bar and Grill.